Sort of glad that you're here tonight. Had to run out to the car real quick. I noticed I had the 90-minute sermon instead of the 30-minute sermon tonight. So I want to run out and get the right sermon for us. Tonight I want to talk with you for a few moments on citizens of Christ's kingdom. We are citizens of a kingdom, and a kingdom that is reigned over by Jesus Christ. We might ask the question, as we think about this verse, Colossians chapter 1, verse 13, for he has rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son. We learned very important and very quickly some lessons throughout the Bible. First of all, we learned some lessons about what it means to be children of God, and then what it means to be part of the body of Christ. Or we might learn lessons about what it means to be a living stone in the temple. The figure of citizenship, though, is something that we want to talk about this afternoon for just a few minutes. And, of course, for our Americans, we have trouble regarding this. I mentioned this in Friday night class a couple of weeks ago, just in passing. But tonight I want to look at it just a little bit further. When we think of a monarchy, most of the time we think of England and king or queen. England's had a queen now for a number of years, and the parliament. They are elected by the people, and this is a constitutional monarchy, which means basically they give the king or the queen the power that they want to give them. And pretty much the king or the queen, Queen Elizabeth right now, is basically just a figurehead. Now, we understand that Jesus Christ, our king, is not a figurehead. He is a true monarch. The word monarch meaning rule of one. A monarchy and a democracy are opposites. I might say on Sunday afternoon that I want to go to Wendy's, and there might be seven or eight women around that want to eat somewhere else. And I'll be voted down from Wendy's with their dollar menu every time because the democracy ends up winning. But when we think about this from the standpoint of what we know something about, we see that a democracy basically is people have all authority. And they set up whatever type of government they want to choose. Our Constitution was written so that laws can be changed as the thinking of the people changes. I believe it was the Friday night class that I talked about that, under the Constitution years ago, the legislature would choose both senators. Now we have half the state that chooses one senator, and the other half the state chooses the other senator. But this wasn't the case originally in the Constitution. They would let the legislature choose who the senators were going to be, or a president. Whoever the president was the one that got the most votes. And under the Constitution originally, the person with the second most votes would have been the vice president. I think in the last election, I think President Trump got the one votes from the states, but he lost the popular vote. So if it had been under the old Constitution, then Hillary Clinton would have been the president and Donald Trump would have been the vice president under the old Constitution. But now that's changed. That's been amended. We see in a kingdom concerning a monarch, though, a monarch has all authority and the people only have such rights that the monarch gives them. He makes the laws. In this case, Jesus makes the laws. And we as the citizens must obey them, whether we approve them or not. First of all, Jesus, the real king, is the real king with all authority. Well, we're going to look at one passage here, but this is enough to satisfy this point. And that is, all authority has been given me in heaven and on earth. How much does that leave for you and me as far as authority goes? Well, that doesn't leave anything for you or me as far as authority goes. Jesus has all authority. Jesus is a reigning king. Someone might ask the question, how could a king who lived so long ago and be so far away, they understand in heaven, how could he be reigning over them or over us? And let's go over to Esther chapter 3 for a minute. Esther chapter 3. In Esther chapter 3, we find the story of Haman. He's wanting to put the Jews to death, and he's talked to King Ahasuerus here. And he's offered a certain amount of money to Ahasuerus in order to cut this deal so that the Jews would be put to death. We see in chapter 3 and in verse 8 beginning, it says, now Haman said to King Ahasuerus, there are certain people scattered, dispersed among the peoples of all the provinces of your kingdom. Their laws are different from those that other people observe, and they do not observe the king's laws. So it is not in the king's interest to let them remain. Let them live is the idea. It is pleasing to the king, let it be decreed that they be destroyed. And I will pay 10,000 talents of silver into the hands of those who carry the king's business to put into the king's treasury. The king took his signet ring out from his hand. He gave it to Haman the Agite. It says in verse 11, the king said to Haman, the silver is yours, the people also, do to them as you please. Verse 12, the king's scribes were summoned on the 13th day of the first month. Haman commanded to the king's satraps, or lieutenants really, the idea, to the governors, to those over the province, to the princes who were over the people, each province according to his script, each people according to his language, being written in the name of King Ahasuerus and sealed with the king's signet ring. What happened? Well, letters were sent out. Letters were sent out in verse 13. They were sent to destroy, to kill, to annihilate the Jews, both young and old, women and children, in one day, on the 13th day of the 12th month, which is the month of Adar, and to seize their possessions as plunder. A copy of the edict was to be issued as law in every province, as was established to all the peoples that should be ready in that day. And the couriers went out, impaled by the king's command, while the decree was issued in the citadel of Susa, and while King and Haman sat down to drink, and the city of Susa was in confusion. So just to look at this point here just for a second, we see how far the king's kingdom goes. It's very large. It goes from North Africa to Eastern Europe to India, and it's very, very large. And we see here what King Ahasuerus told them. He told them first that the scribes were to write down what the king dictated. Also, we see there were messengers. After the scribes wrote this down, they had to write down exactly what the king said. If they didn't write down exactly what the king said, they'd be killed. They'd be put to death. Messengers were sent out to go to all these different areas, thousands of miles away, to tell them the Jews are going to die The Jews are going to die on this particular day, exactly at this time. And then there were, you might say local officials, governors, satraps, lieutenants, that carried out this message. Well, what do you tell me that? I ask you the question about Jesus Christ. How does Jesus Christ do this when he's so far away? He does it the exact same way the King Ahasuerus did. That's exactly how he does it. You can imagine tampering with the consequences. But here, concerning the King, King Jesus, what does he say? He says in Ephesians chapter 4 and in verse 8, it says, when he ascended on high, this is after the resurrection. This is 40 days after that, before he ascends to the Father. He stays on earth for 40 days after his resurrection. It says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. We see in Daniel chapter 7 and verse 13 and 14 that the king is going to be given dominion. He's going to be given a kingdom. There's the idea there. What are the gifts? Well, the gifts here in this context is that he gave apostles and prophets. Those are the scribes. The apostles. Well, who are the apostles? Peter, Andrew, James, John, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, Simon, Judas Iscariot. Those are the apostles. Prophets, people like Mark, people like Luke, like Timothy, that were going to write down many times what was going to be said. He also gave messengers or evangelists. Those are evangelists, are the messengers. The exact same thing Ahasuerus did. And then shepherds and teachers, local servants to execute what the king said. Here we just to break this down just for a second to look at a couple of passages here regarding this. It says in chapter 14 of John and in verse 26, but the helper of the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. You're not going to be able to write down what you think. People have to write down what they think. There could be chaos. This is definition here. The Bible is. But we don't want chaos to where people are going to write down what they think. People come up all sorts of things. They write down what they think. In John chapter 16 and verses 12 through 14, he says, I have many things to say to you. And then he says, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak from his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you the things to come. He will glorify me, and he will take care, he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. The only authority that the Holy Spirit has is what Jesus reveals. And we see that he didn't trust him to speak. Until the Spirit had come. Peter wrote, now the second letter I'm writing to you, beloved, both of them I'm stirring up to you a sincere way of reminder that you should remember the predictions of the holy prophets and the command of the Lord and Savior through your apostles. We talked about evangelists a moment ago. We see concerning evangelists here, just break this down rather quickly. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, it says, Paul wrote to the young man Timothy, hold fast the pattern of sound words that you've heard from me, and faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. the things that you've heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. He also says to preach the word. 10 times he says to speak these things. In fact, Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 4 and in verse 11, if anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. And then there are going to be shepherds and teachers and in local congregations that are going to execute the will of the king. And in Acts and in Acts chapter 20 and in verse 28, Acts 20 and in verse 28, he says, Acts 20 verse 28, be on guard for yourselves and all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. How in the world does the Holy Spirit make you overseers? A lot of times it's popularity contests for an elder. Maybe it's the fact of if he's a good giver, maybe that's the qualification for an elder. No, the idea is here that the Holy Spirit has given us a profile to follow. Giving us a profile to follow. A lot of times we call it qualification, but really it's a profile to follow. And as we follow this profile, whenever a man fits that profile, then the Holy Spirit has chosen him. We also have no legislative authority. We must hold fast to the faithful word. If anyone would speak perverse things in Acts chapter 20 and in verse 30, Acts chapter 20 and in verse 30, a lot of times elders might not be doing what's right. And they might be saying, well, I'll tell you what, church, you go ahead and you follow us, even we know what we're doing is not right, because we're the one that's going to take the heat for it. We're the one that's going to go to judgment for it. Well, Acts 20 verse 30 just tells the opposite thing here regarding this. In Acts 20 and in verse 30 he says, from among your own selves men will arise speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after them. Not only are elders going to take the heat, but disciples are going to be drawn away as well. So we need to be careful regarding that. He says here that if anyone speaking of the God, let him be accursed. We must give an account. Citizens of the kingdom must respect their leadership. They are responsible for edification and rebellion. Rebellion is very serious. Well, in a democracy, a lot of times the thinking of the people changes. I tried to list here in my lifetime some of the things that have changed since I've lived on the earth. And maybe during your lifetime you can even think of even more. The role of government. The role of government's changed over the course of my lifetime and your lifetime. Alcohol sales to where one time you had different laws regarding Sunday with alcohol sales. Gambling has changed. It's evidently going to continue to change even in this state. Abortion used to be illegal. Homosexuality used to be illegal. The attitude concerning divorce has changed. Marijuana and just so many other things have changed. Well, even Ahasuerus had a problem. His wife changed his mind. What was he going to do now? He had the scribes to write all that down. He had the messengers to send that out. They rode, I guess, horse and chariot and everything else, thousands of miles to get that message out. That Haman wanted to go ahead and kill the Jews on a specific day. And then finally it got to the local officials, and there they were charged with telling the people what to do as far as killing the Jews on that specific day. Now it's changed. What does he have to do? What does he have to do? Well, he had to go through the process again. He had to get the scribes to write down again what he wanted. This time it wasn't, don't kill the people. Don't kill the Jews on that specific day. He had to get the messengers to travel 1,000 miles again in order to get that message to them to not kill the Jews, and then finally get it into the local officials. Well, what about Jesus Christ? This business of adopting new laws, is that part of it? Well, if that's true, then Jesus has to go through the same thing again. He would have to get new apostles. He would have to get new prophets in order to write down the new law, whatever the new law was going to be. He would have to get messengers to go and to send that message out. And then finally, we'd have to change the message from the local churches. But that's not what Jesus, the King, has done. It says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The laws of Christ's kingdom do not change with a changing culture. He hasn't made any provision as far as legislature or human representatives to make laws for his kingdom. He set up the laws. He set up the boundaries. He set up the rules, regulations, whatever you'd like to call it. Christ's kingdom, the laws do not change because he doesn't change. Jude, he says, contend earnestly for the faith which was once delivered for all the saints. He says in Revelation chapter 22, the very end of Revelation, he says, if anyone adds to this book, if anyone takes away of the book of this prophecy, well, they'll be lost. Our spiritual laws made 2,000 years ago, are they relevant today? Well, we have a lot of things that's changed in our Constitution over the past several hundred years. Do we need to do that spiritually as well? Are these things outdated? Does a changing culture make a difference? Maybe with the laws of nature. They're still as relevant as they were more than 1,000, 2,000, 5,000, 6,000, 7,000 years ago. You step off a cliff, gravity is going to take hold, and good possibility is you're going to die. Well, whether it's the laws of the King or the laws of nature, they're both given by the same lawgiver. He says in John 1, verse 3, that we'll study next Sunday, all things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, who being in the brightness of his glory and express image of his person, and upholding all things by the power or the word of his power. It's evident through wisdom. Laws are unchanging through space. Exploring space And we're able to figure all this out, whether it's down in Huntsville at that space station, or Cape Kennedy, or over in Houston. They're able to figure all this out because God's laws haven't changed. Weights depend on it. Man is helpless to change natural laws. And they don't need to be changed because they're perfect. And there's no mercy for the violation of a natural law. You step off a 45-story building, and there's not going to be any mercy for you. If God can make natural laws suitable for all ages, why couldn't He make spiritual laws? The need is not to change God's laws to fit man's limited wisdom. The need is to change man to fit God's perfect law. Is it possible for people to misinterpret some scripture? Yes, it is. It is possible. I've heard some people before that I believe probably have misinterpreted scripture. I have probably misinterpreted scripture from time to time. Go back and study it again. Make changes. But at the same time, it's dangerous to reinterpret Scripture in order to fit our changing culture. He says that He'll send a strong delusion to those who do not believe the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. And I think that's where we are right now in our society. That there is really a lot of people that have pleasure in unrighteousness. Not only that, but in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 16, it says, some untaught, unstable people twist, Paul's writing, to their own destruction, as do also the rest of the Scriptures. So, my time's up. Thank you for being a good audience. Two ways to study the Bible. Study to justify what we want to do. It might be Brother Staggs, or maybe some old priest. I forgot who it was. But they were talking about the fact to a group of college boys years ago that we could take any verse in the Bible, and change that to meet our needs for whatever we want. And one of the boys said, I just don't believe that, Brother so-and-so. He said, well, just give me an example. He said, well, what would you say if I said it was wrong to cut firewood? And the preacher said, when God is joined together, let not man put asunder. And I guess that's possible to take a verse for anything and to twist it out of context. But studying to learn what the King wants us to do, that's truly, truly what we need to be doing. We would encourage you to come right now while together we stand, while we sing.